Our text for this morning is short, just 6 verses. That is not necessarily indicative of the exposition that will follow. But nevertheless, read along with me. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's interesting in Scripture, making a little joke of time here this morning, how Scripture allots space to time. In the book of Revelation, 2 chapters were devoted to the church age, which now has existed for 2,000 years. From chapters 4 on through chapter 19, if my addition is correct, that's 16 chapters, was devoted to 7 years. We have 1,000 years here, and you get 6 verses. Obviously, all that transpires in that period of time is not contained within these 6 verses. But we need to understand these 6 verses, and this morning we'll look at a few others that will describe what's going on here, because they are the best 1,000 years that this world has ever experienced. This morning, as we consider the millennial kingdom, I want to ask and hopefully answer 3 questions. Question number 1, will the millennium be a literal 1,000 years long? That's debated by some. What will the millennium be like? And then finally, what purpose does the millennium serve? Let's look at the first question. Will the millennium be 1,000 literal years? You are correct. Let's move on to the second question. No, that's not going to happen either. I would like to suggest to you there are 3 reasons for a literal millennium. Reason number 1, accurate Bible interpretation demands it. There are those who cite another passage of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is what they will say about this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Do you notice they omitted 3 little words, with the Lord? That makes all the difference. They say here, because of omitting that, that if 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years, that when you come to the 1,000 years that's mentioned here in the passage 5 times and once more in verse 7 that we'll begin with next time, that you don't understand it as a literal 1,000 years. It's just it could be a day. It could be an extended period of time of more than 1,000 years. But that's not what this verse here in 2 Peter 3 says. One day is with the Lord. Grandma and Grandpa are back there, sitting in the next to the back row and just smiling because their first little granddaughter was born this past Monday. Today she is 6 days old, right? One day for little Ellie is 1/6 of her life. That's a significant portion. 1/6 of my life is slightly more than just a day. It's about 10 years, plus a little bit more. Time makes a difference for people. With God, who is eternal, time is not of consequence. And that's why Peter is saying this. With the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is a day. But with man, 1,000 years is 1,000 years. And notice in the context here, or in this passage, we're dealing with people. Is Satan, and we'll be dealing with the subject of Satan tonight in our studies, is he a person? And the question, or the answer is yes, he's a created being. He's cast down into a bottomless pit. I believe that's going to be in the center of the earth. Is the earth a real place? Yeah. How long has it existed? Well, there's a time that it has existed. The things that are going on here are dealing with people, and therefore we must understand them as, if we're going to be accurate in our Bible interpretation, as 1,000 years. Secondly, consistent Bible interpretation demands it. As I said here, everything here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, is a real thing. Satan is real. The world is real. The thrones that he sees are real. The people sitting on them are real. The resurrection is real. Everything here is real. It's not figurative. To say then that the 1,000 years is figurative while everything else is literal just doesn't get it done. Consistent Bible interpretation demands it. And then finally, comprehensive Bible interpretation demands it. It's interesting as you go through the book of Revelation and look specifically at times that are given there. If you will, keep your finger here. Turn back with me to Revelation and chapter 11. And verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. You know what? If 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years, then these two witnesses are going to prophesy 1,260,000 years. I won't pick on you anymore, Blair. I won't say a word. Well, that's ridiculous. Well, if you're going to understand the days here as days, 3.5 years, and it's interesting as you go through here, they are consistent, then when you come to the 1,000 years here in Revelation chapter 20, we're talking 1,000 years. The millennium is so called because it is a literal 1,000 years. Well, the second question is, what will the millennium be like? And that's probably the most important thing concerning our study this morning. I want to give you 9 qualities of the millennium. First one is found right here in our text, and that is Satan is going to be bound. The angel is going to come down, lay hold of Satan, and cast him into a bottomless pit. Well, people say there is no such thing as a bottomless pit. I say, oh yeah? Prove it. You can't prove that nothing doesn't exist, or something doesn't exist, but the Bible says it exists, and may I say to you, I think I know where it is. It's my stomach. It's something different. I think the center of the earth can easily fulfill this qualification. Think about it. In the middle of the earth, every direction is up. Therefore, there's no bottom to it. No matter which way Satan would be positioned, he's always looking up. It would be a bottomless pit. But regardless of that, the fact of the matter is that the passage here says that he is there, and he's there for 1,000 years, And during that 1,000 years, he cannot deceive the nations. Peter tells us that in this present day and age, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lord Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He wants to take you apart. That's what he's doing. Can you imagine a world where Satan has no influence whatsoever? I mean, think about that. No temptations coming from without. What a world that would be. Satan is a liar. No lying going on. Satan is a murderer. No murdering going on, or at least temptation to do those things. My goodness, the politicians would be out of business. Satan will be bound. What a fantastic time that will be. Secondly, there will be an uninterrupted physical presence with God. In verse 4, John sees thrones and people sitting upon it, and the souls of men that were beheaded, I believe these are tribulation saints. And it says here at the end of the verse, and they lived and reigned 1,000 years. Someone? Huh? No. See, I just did something I cautioned you about earlier. I forgot a couple of words. With Christ. They lived and reigned, not by themselves, with Christ. Can you imagine having the Lord Jesus Christ physically present 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 1,000 years? Because he will be in his glorified body, I have a feeling that he will need no sleep. And consequently, he will be available to the world 24 hours a day. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to come to Christ and say, Lord, I got a problem. And he'll be right there, ruling over this world. Thirdly, Isaiah chapter 11 tells us that the animal kingdom will be changed. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Of course, we see that happening all the time together. The young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The animal kingdom will be changed. Apparently, all animals will no longer be carnivorous. They will go back to eating plants alone. My buddy, Dr. Bob Shelton, when he was a missionary in Vietnam, was called by some tribal people one day up into the northern area of South Vietnam, because up there was a Bengal tiger that was killing people of the tribes. And you'll find this interesting. People of Vietnam were not allowed to own guns, but Americans could. So they called him and another missionary up there to bring their rifle and to kill this Bengal tiger. And he said, man, that Bengal tiger was the most beautiful animal. But he said it was killer. And they had to kill it to preserve the lives of people. And he said he was thinking about this verse of Scripture, and he made plans then that in the millennium he's coming back and he's going to sit on the back of Bengal tigers and go for a ride. You'll be able to do that. What a world that will be. Human life will be prolonged. Isaiah chapter 65 says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. No one's going to die prematurely, for the child shall be 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. You know Methuselah? Sunday school class. How old was he when he died? 969. That'll be the norm of people in the millennial kingdom. To live that long. One of the problems that we have today is sometimes you do something and age catches up to you, or disease catches up to you, or something, an accident happens, and you don't get to reap the benefits of what you do. In the millennial kingdom, you will be around so long that no matter what you do, you'll enjoy the benefits of it. People won't get old. And I take it in getting old, and we'll see this in just a second or two, there's not going to be the problems associated with age. Next one. There will be increased spiritual light and knowledge. Isaiah 54 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Can you imagine? Now remember who is going to populate the millennial kingdom. You'll have those who have physically survived the tribulation populating it in their natural bodies. But at this point in time, the church, which has already been raptured, and the Old Testament saints will now be resurrected. We get into some theological discussions sometimes we ask each other, I wonder what Moses meant by these words. I wonder what Paul had in mind. Do you not realize in the millennium, you won't have to wonder. You can go ask them. But not only that, even greater than that, you'd be able to go up to the Lord himself and say, I don't understand this. Explain it to me. And obviously, the Holy Spirit will have a freedom like never before. And if he is teaching in this day and age and convincing the hearts and minds of men and bringing things to remembrance and so forth, how much more in that day and age will the Word of God go forth and be understood? Calvinism will be a thing of the past. Just had to throw that one in there. Roy says just the opposite. Man, to have agreement on those types of things. And consequently, when there is agreement in biblical issues, there shall be great peace. Nextly, a period of righteousness upon the earth. Sin will be immediately punished. Isaiah chapter 11, "And shall make him of quick understanding and fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." And this is speaking of Christ, "And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins." God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to judge. He will wield absolute authority. Consequently, sin will be dealt with quickly and effectively. I've mentioned this once or twice before, but every once in a while I turn on when I am really, 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 really bored, I turn on the TV program Cops. And you see these guys. Now, they are there, and there's a camera out there filming them. So it's not like it's one person's word against another. There is physical evidence of what has gone on. And they sit there and they say, I didn't do that. Even though visual evidence that they did something. Well, in the day of the millennium, there will be no argument about what's done. No excuses given. Consequently, there's going to be on the earth a freedom that people will have to live their lives in safety. I don't know that it will be necessary to have locks on doors. I don't know that it will be necessary to have armaments to defend yourself. I don't know that it will be necessary to have a police force, because the Lord Jesus Christ will be physically present and sin will be dealt with immediately, righteously. And that, by the way, is one of the greatest deterrents to the continuance of sin. Next one, economic prosperity and tranquility. Psalm 72 says, "There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. And they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth." The earth right now is under a curse. Isn't it interesting with the weather that we've been having, how beginning of summer we had the torrential floods, and since then we haven't had any rain. What's growing outside right now? There's only one thing that is growing right now. Weeds. The grass has already died. The weeds, that's the only thing that's flourishing. Do you know, if sin had never entered into the world, there would be no weeds out there. And the rain would be perfect. Well, the millennial kingdom, the weather and so forth is going to be changed. The curse is going to be lifted, and productivity will be restored to the earth like never before. There will be no such thing as famines or droughts, pestilences. There will be plenty to go around. The productivity will not only be in the agricultural sense, but it will be in the industrial sense too. There will be, because of righteousness, there's going to be a unity between management and labor. They are going to be looking out for each other rather than for themselves. What a wonderful time in which to live. Sickness is going to be removed. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." And then Isaiah 33, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick." Get this. No Obamacare. There won't be any need for health insurance. Sickness will be done away. No more doctor visits. No more co-pays. How you feeling today? Whenever you ask someone, how you feeling today, do you realize that for 1,000 years, the answer is always going to be the same? Great! I like that. Last one. A unified language. Zephaniah 3:9 says, "For then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent." Think about this for just a moment. We dealt just a couple of weeks ago with the destruction of Babylon. And it was at the Tower of Babel that the languages were confused. Well, with the religion of Babel being destroyed, it's only right that God would return a unity of language. But I do have bad news about that. In the vocabulary of this language, you will not find the word yins. Sorry, it won't be there. There's 9 qualities. Let me ask you a question. Will the world get better? Well, absolutely. Not only that, it'll be better than it ever has been before, even before sin entered into the world. Before sin entered into the world, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you have Adam and Eve out there. Now, there was productivity and everything was going along quite fine. In fact, on the 7th or 6th day of creation, the Lord looked at all He created and said, "It is very good." But you read in Genesis chapter 3 that there was a meeting between God and Adam and Eve after sin entered into the world. And the way it reads there, it seems as if that was kind of a frequent thing, but not a continuous thing. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, fellowship with God will be continuous. I'd say that's even better. Satan roamed the Garden of Eden. He won't be around. I'd say that's even better. The world will experience a greatness that it has never experienced before. I like that, do you? I like that. Well then, what purpose does the millennium serve? Although all those things are good, once the Antichrist has been overthrown at the Battle of Armageddon and cast into the lake of fire, why not just throw Satan there too and get on into eternity where things will be absolutely perfect? I'd like to suggest to you that there are three things that the millennium accomplishes. Number one, it will demonstrate the power and sovereignty of God over His creation. Do you ever ask, will things get better? Yeah, they will. One day. Do you ever think to yourself, oh, these are so, what can change my circumstances? And you actually sometimes, of course not in theory, but in things that you won't admit to, you question, I wonder even if God can do this. Well, the millennium is going to demonstrate that. Everything that God has created, that sin has destroyed, God is going to restore to a perfect condition. God will show Himself to be God in all His glory. He will demonstrate all His power and righteousness. And there will be people called Christians. There will be saints from the Old Testament and tribulation days that will be reigning with Him. Do you ever wonder if it's worth it to serve Jesus Christ? Sometimes you labor and you labor and you labor and you think, why even bother? Well, here's a reason. In the end, He will accomplish His purposes. The millennium will demonstrate that. Secondly, it will demonstrate the faithfulness of God to His promises. Do you know there's a lot of promises that God has made to specifically the nation of Israel that have not yet been fulfilled? They will be. The time is coming. There is a promise given to King David that someone would sit on his throne forever. And you look in Israel today, there's no throne. And if there's no throne, no one's sitting on it. There will be. One day. That seems like the most impossible thing for God to fulfill. Yet it's coming. It's coming. Do you ever wonder how faithful God is to the promises He's made to you? Do you ever wonder if God's really going to keep His word? Well, we wouldn't tell anybody, but let's face it, I'll bet you every one of us has had a moment or two of doubt. Well, if God can pull this off, how much more the promises that He's made you and I? And finally this, it will demonstrate the incorrigible nature of Satan and sinful man. Next time we get together, we'll look at this in detail, so I'm only going to introduce it here. But after the 1,000 years, Satan is left out of his bottomless pit. And guess who he is now? Still Satan. Not a change whatsoever. Man that will enter into the millennial kingdom in his natural body will give birth to children. Children born with the same sinful nature that you and I have right now. And after living, maybe some of them, for almost the entirety of the 1,000 years in a perfect condition, we'll say, I think we can do better than this and revolt against God. That's how messed up sin makes us. 1,000 years. And man will not be able to change his nature, neither will Satan desire to. Well, you say, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. It's not going to happen. Do you know what? There's as much mold on the other side of the leaf as there is on the one that's up right now. That won't work. The millennium will prove it. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't do anything to correct that other than trust Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for your sins, that you might be a new creation, just like the millennium will be a new creation. I encourage you to do so today. Let's pray. Father, what a day that lies before us. A day that will last 1,000 years. What a wonderful time to look forward. For we have such a wonderful God. Father, in this world that is becoming increasingly dark, may we look for the day that is coming where light will be more abundant. In this day when sin is running more and more rampant, may we look forward to the day when righteousness shall be the rule of the day. In this day when things are winding down, people are getting old, sickness is running amok, may we look to the day when all these things will be reversed. In this day when man is turning away from God and His Word and His rule, may we be reminded and look forward to the day when Jesus Christ truly shall reign right here amongst us. And for those who know Him as Savior, may we have confident expectation of the Bible simply calls hope. And regardless how things may be today, there is a new day coming. And may we be found faithful in the days that You've given to us to live here and now. And Lord, I do pray that if there is even just one here this morning, but as many as might be here this morning, who know not Jesus Christ as Savior, may they recognize their need and may they realize the provision that Christ made for them on the cross by shedding His blood for their sins that they might have life. May they, in simple faith, come to Him today. To that end, we pray in the very precious name of Jesus Christ, our coming ruler. Amen.